Zaxby's just out-Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
Welcome to the Lizard League Rogan Experience, a podcast where we really delve into conspiracy theories about the squids from Mars that are coming down to take us over. My guest this evening is Justin Tyler, Pete LePage. I'm Alex Zalbin, and this is actually Podvincible, a podcast.
Hey!
Oh, there we go. And we are back talking about season two.
We are so back.
Oh, there we go. It's almost St. Patrick's Day. We're going to be talking about season two, episode five, This Must Come as a Shock. If you haven't checked it out on Prime Video, please do. And this might come as a shock. The episode are now dropping earlier than expected.
Hey, a little surprise.
Check it out. Not only that, but this is the second half of the season. It's been away for a while, but we are back in it. A little bit of recap in case you forgot where we were, and then an even briefer bit of recap about this episode. And for certain listeners in the audience, I'll mention, when I do this recap portion, I'm just going to be mentioning a couple of plot points, and then on the podcast, we'll go back and fill things in. I'm not mentioning this for any of our hosts, of course.
No, because we know what's happening. We would never interrupt this portion of this part because this part is quick.
This is a short part this of is the fast. Podcast. Yes.
And this is a little time for us to not listen and just do our own thing.
Yeah, to go get like a glass of water or whatever you want to do.
Exactly. Keep the instrument sharp.
Oh, a big midday beer, I guess. Right, Pete?
It's delicious. Thursday afternoon. So
it's always Thursday afternoon somewhere, I always say. Anyway, in the first half of the season, the big thing that you need to know is that Invincible went off planet for a couple of months, was tricked into helping out his dad, Nolan, a.k.a. Omni-Man, was then taken by a couple of Viltrumites, the alien race that he is part of.
I remember those.
And the Viltrumites really dug into Invincible, literally and figuratively, and told him he had to take over the world, otherwise they're going to destroy the world. That's kind of what we're picking up here with Invincible on the alien planet that Nolan had been kind of benevolently ruling with his new bug wife and his new half-bug child, who we don't find out the name of here.
Buggy.
Comic book fans know what his name is, but we won't spoil it. It's coming out later. But by the end of the episode, Invincible is back on Earth, and the Guardians of the Globe are split between two massive threats. One is Sequids, these race of brain slugs from Mars who are headed towards Earth. The majority of the team goes there, along with Invincible and Adam Eve to stop them. Things are not going well. Meanwhile, back on Earth, we got Rexplode, Duplicate, and Shrinking Ray, who take on the Lizard League themselves. And after initially doing pretty well, Shrieking Ray gets eaten. Duplicate sees her last dupe smashed in half. And Rexplode is down one hand and about to be executed by the leader of the Lizard League. I'll say right up front about this episode, the first half I was like, oh, okay, we got your typical hangover episodes. Big things went down in the first half of the season. Got to take it slow, reset the relationships.
Oh, this is Invincible.
Second half of the episode is brutal. Like, so brutal.
So much happening.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of brutal, are you wearing Invincible underwear as well? I mean, we can see the hat, the shirt. Yeah. You know, is there any, you know.
No, I got nothing on below the shirt. I'm straight Donald Duckling.
Wow.
Donald Duckling. Yes.
All right.
Porky Pigging? Wait, sorry, Pete, do you prefer Donald Ducking or Porky Pigging? Porky Pig. Okay. Because that implies like a curly little pigtail on the front.
Nope. I just think it's funnier sounding.
All right. Fair enough. Pete, what did you think about this episode? How are you feeling?
I'm, What was intense recap? You know, a lot of times I hit the old skip recap, but I was like, all right, it's been a minute. Let's get refreshed. And I was like, holy shit. I forgot about all the madness that I was signing up for. But man, yeah, just what a start to such an epic, you know, kind of first half. Like, really, there's no letdown. It keeps the pedal to the metal, so to speak. So, man, a lot goes down in this issue. Can't wait to get into it.
I would even call it an episode versus an issue, personally. But
oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
They're different things, but it's okay. It's okay. Justin, what about you?
I guess I'll just order one Donald Duckling. Because I love the taste of that little baby duck. You know what I'm talking about?
That's
yum,
gross,
yum.
Yeah, no pants for me, thanks.
Yeah, could you take the pants? You know, I like to have my duckling de-pantsed before I eat it. Just, especially tableside. Ooh,
Have you ever got to a restaurant and they have like a little shirt on the duck and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh, who's that?
Which of my favorite characters is that one?
Yeah, one of my favorite ducks. Hugh, I'll have the Dewey and a side of Louie, if possible.
Oh, wow. How much does that cost? One dime.
One dime.
Lucky dime.
Wow, getting deep into the DuckTales history there. Mythology.
Woo-hoo. Yes. Yeah, woo-hoo.
Blather and Blatherskite, what a great episode of Invincible here. There is, just to your point, Pete, the recap and then just into this episode, this show is doing everything all at once.
Yeah.
The way the episode ends, the same thing where it's like they are unafraid of just hammering us with a massive volume of comic book information in one single episode of television. And that's very fun as a
comic
book.
Well, even the after credits was action packed.
Yes. Well, I was going to bring that up because I think the two things this episode really drove home for me, one, I don't think it was entirely their choice to split it up four episodes. A little bit of that was the production schedule, so they had to give a break there so they could actually finish the episodes off. But at the same time, I kind of feel like it works. Like, you built up to the Omni-Man story, brought that back, hit a punctuation mark here. And here in the second half, the reason I was mentioning about the after credits, where we get to see Alan the Alien is alive. We get maybe my favorite Seth moment Rogen. In the comic of all time, Thaddeus ripping off his beard to reveal that he's Ultralight.
Oh, my God.
Incredible.
It hurts to watch. Even though it's animated, I was still like, oh!
Now, do you think he spirit gummed that on? Or was that full growth? And he
full
just
growth, man.
Full growth. It's much funnier if it's an actual beard that he ripped off of his face.
So let me ask you this. Why is the mustache such a firmer grip from a hair perspective?
Well, he started from the bottom.
I'm sorry. You mustache us
from
a
the
question.
Bottom. Yeah. If he grabbed it from the mustache and kind of ripped that way, it would have been different. It's all about the rip. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying he could have easily accidentally gone full Hitler stash there by accident.
Ooh.
Everything works about that moment. Everything works about that joke because they treat it so seriously down to Alan seeing the mustache and being like, oh no, you're a Viltrumite. It's not played for laughs at all. And that's what makes it so funny. But the reason the reason I was bringing it up is I think they did such a great job of in the first half of the season laying all this stuff out. We had discussions here on the podcast of like, what's going on with the Lizard League? What's going on with the Sequids? What's going to happen with Alan? And we're immediately, it feels like we're over that hill and we're headed downhill to whatever the end of the season is. And that's great. That's good pacing.
It's impressive how much they're trying to kind of do. I mean, you have the relationship with the girlfriend. You've been away for 2 months. I mean, you know, that's a long time. So it's one of those things where they're juggling so much. And there's also, because we know the comics, there's also so much happening that has yet to be revealed. I mean, just how excited Mark got to see Eve. I was like, all right, take it easy, guy. I mean, you're in a professional, you know, environment.
I think you're predicting the end of this season, I think.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I think is going to happen. We have three more episodes.
I hope not. I'm rooting for this relationship, even though I know what happens in the comic because I like them so much.
Who you mean?
Mark
you're
and
saying
Amber.
Amber and Mark, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. She's hanging out with those other friends. Yeah. And as soon as Mark has to go save the world, who does she call? Friends.
Well, when you're gone for 2 months, man, you got to do something.
No,
I sit in a chair and stare when my wife's away.
You just wait for her to come home, turn on the lights, and then you
Exactly. And I'm like, what about your children, though?
You know what I mean? That's what I'm worried about.
It's hard to teach them to also sit in chairs like robots, but
they're doing a great job. You're a good dad.
Yeah. Thank you. Robot.
That's the first person to say that.
That was the one aspect I was a little surprised about with this episode, because gone 2 months, we start to see some changes in relationships, but there's not actually a lot of big forward movement with everybody. I kind of expected he would go off planet, he'd come back and everything's different, but that's not what we go for here at all.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is back on the mustache thing, it feels like the mustache Viltrumite thing was a joke in, like, you know, issue 5 of the Invincible comic. And then it's we're so far removed from the joke that it is a very serious thing. And I sort of feel that way with a lot of these story points that we're talking about, where, oh, this was such a fun, slow journey. And in this show, we're getting it hard and fast.
Yeah.
And I think that sounds like a criticism, but I think it works to our advantage, because it's like, it's body confusion. Like, we're coming at this and we're like, oh, right. Oh, that part. Oh, it's like we're getting hit. So for the, I'd be curious to talk to a new viewer who never read the Invincible comic, who's just coming to this, if it feels overwhelming, because for me, it feels right. It feels like a pleasant bombardment. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like being rained on by like mustard, one of my favorite condiments.
Okay.
Like a mustard ring.
No follow-up questions. Alex, what were you going to say?
No, I have at least one follow-up question. Why specifically
mustard?
Don't
talk about his golden shower mustard moment, please. Let's just keep moving.
No, the original golden shower is mustard.
We started this podcast to talk about the TV show Invincible and our kinks, and we need to get into this. Why mustard? Why not?
Top of mind condiment. I mean, I love relish. And sure, tartar sauce, but that feels gross. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're don't like, want a tartar fish?
Rain. Yeah. What am I, fish?
Huh? Pete, what condiment do you like to get sprayed down with in a sexual way?
I don't.
Pete, come on. You're a condiment king. if you had to choose.
I like a Heinz. You know what I mean?
Calling out the brand. No free ads, P. A. B. You want to have that? That takes a while. It's famously slow to come out. You're never going to get that.
Pete, I got to admit, we went out once. We got very drunk, and I will never get out of my head hearing Pete say, "Hit me on the 57.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
Wow. Yeah, it's coming around.
Yeah, it took me a while. I was like, were we on 57th Street when I said that? Okay.
Yeah, next time you see Pete, listeners, ask Pete where his 57 tattoo is, because that's right where you got to hit him.
That's right where you got to hit him. It all comes out when that happens, but you hit the 57.
Yeah, be careful. Only do it if you want to see what happens.
Yeah, you got to tip him over on an angle, hit him on the 57, it all comes out. What are we talking about? Invincible, the TV show, I think?
I would hope so.
Yes, Justin, did you want to comment about something non-mustard, perhaps the relationships?
We're done with the mustard. Okay. Yep. Well, I mean, I also think this show, you could be like, oh, I love Invincible. I can't wait to find out if Donald deals with his robot anxiety. Oh, I love Invincible. Is Debbie going to raise this bug baby? I love Invincible. Rexplode's my favorite character. Oh, no. And I love that they treat all the relationships and all the different dramatic arcs with the same level of, like, this is someone's favorite character. This is a valuable part of the story. Let's go. Rexplode gets extra play because I think this show loves Jason Mantzoukas.
I mean, who doesn't? And that's also what I was going to say is what's great is Mantzoukas isn't just Mantzouking all over the place. He has his moments, his funny stuff. But also, like, his kind of talk with, Eve was just very touching and real. I like when Mantzoukas also gets to play the serious stuff. It works really well.
Overall, this was a great episode, other than how he ended up, obviously, but for Rexplode with the Adam Eve conversation, like you're talking about, he got to do the funny stuff with talking about, no, we're not doing anything. I'm the leader now. My first command is let's order pizza and hang out. Very fun.
And then he busts through the door and he's like, die fast, motherfuckers. My pizza's getting cold. I mean, that was hilarious.
A good plan there. Like, at the same time that he's being a jerk off, when he is given the chance to step up, recruit Adam Eve, come up with a plan to attack the Lizard League, obviously it goes horrifically wrong, but I don't think that's his fault necessarily. It's the fault of there's three of them that are attacking at the same time.
Realistically, well, that plan was pretty horrible. Their plan was to fly to the spaceship and then pretend to be junk. I mean, it was
There's a couple of bad plans at play, because I think this the Lizard League attack. Remember, the Lizard League was a joke up until this season. So like they get outplayed by them. And the space plan, I love seeing Robot be bad. You expect Robot to be like ahead of everyone all the time because that's sort of his whole thing. But I love this the robot fuck ups across
the old board. Star Wars pretend to be space junk plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that points to they're doing that very specifically because he's in a human body now who is a child. So even though he is immensely smart, there's a lot of other things that are play here. He's not removed from it. He's in the action. In the first half of the season, we got a lot of focus on him dealing with his fear. He's clearly having some relationship issues with Monster Girl as well, which is making it tough on him. So I think he is purposefully screwing up because he is in this very different position than he was in the first half. Again, I know we're always jumping around comic book stuff, but this is a big part of his arc, and I think he needs to get past this and grow past this to get where he's going next, and we'll see what happens with that.
Good.
I was just going to say, I hope he grows past this very, very much so.
Oh, nice.
Nice, but pretty much out of left field, I guess.
We're just talking about Star Wars. I'll give it to him.
Thank you.
I'll put 1 point on for you, Pete.
I haven't even checked. Alex, what is our score? We've been doing this show for like 18 years.
It's going to take me the rest of the show to tally it up, but we do it British quiz show style, so ultimately it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's actually 1-0-0. Pete has scored the only point. What I was going to say is like, what a come up season so far for Adam Eve. Like, I feel like she was the ultimate outsider. We saw her Adam Eve special, that bridge between the two seasons. She was great. And then she was definitely sort of in a sad place, feeling alone, lonely, outside. And I think this episode is keying us in. She's the most powerful member of the team. She saves their lives multiple times. And then her and Mark, I think, are setting up to be sort of the big power, the power couple. And I use that word deliberately, couple, going forward in the Invincible world.
Well, I mean, take it easy with the couple talk.
The greeting. Look at the greeting.
They were happy to see each other. But at the same time, Amber and Mark still seem to be very strong. There don't necessarily seem to be cracks there in the relationship, which I was really expecting, like I was saying earlier, after the 2 month gap. But there's not.
I was pleasantly surprised by the way that they picked back up, but I think the seeds were sown, you know, her struggling through the time Mark was gone, her grandfather dying, and then just the sigh that she lets out when Mark has to go back to space, and that coupled with the Adam Eve greeting, I think that's your crack.
But also that was a fun running bit where it was like, you got to go back to space. Oh, I just got back from space. What are you talking about? And then, you know, like Amber says the same thing. So I thought it was a fun little bit there.
I mean, I'm the same way when it's like, you got to go back to the store to get more mustard. And I'm like, I just came from getting more mustard, but I guess we just need more mustard for whatever reason.
Shelved the mustard. What happened? Why does this keep coming back?
Off the shelf, golden shower.
That's what it's called, actually, is shelving the mustard.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's start with the beginning.
The shelf is.
Right next to the 57.
We're back on the bug planet. And I really was impressed with this kind of like struggle of Mark trying to grow into his own, but now he's got a baby. What do you do with the baby? I was really impressed with the way this was handled. He didn't just show up at his mom's house and was like, hey, you know how to deal with babies. Like, I was like, part of me was like, oh God, don't give it to your mom. She's been struggling with drinking and just started to get better. Like, you know, and that whole thing of like her opening the cabinet. And then as soon as he kind of drops the baby bomb, she's immediately drinking again, you know? So I love the way they do things on the show where they're kind of hitting us with so much stuff, but it's like little movement, little movement, little movement. It's really impressive.
I agree with that specifically. It was played so subtly, but designed, I think, to make us feel the tension of it. like really great. Like I feel like they showed and didn't tell all of Debbie's sort of emotional part here, where she's like, oh, my ex-husband who ruined my life, I'm raising his half bug child. He's moved on in a relationship sense, and I'm still mad, but still jealous, probably. And now left with this child dropped in her lap. Like it was great. Really smart, subtle storytelling.
Also, well, like the yeah, fact of we're getting a reverse of what happens a lot of times in television shows, where the baby or the kid is going to always be a baby or a kid. They've clearly said numerous times this baby is going to grow real mm-hmm. quick. So I'm thinking next episode, probably a moody teenager, you know, should be interesting.
Well, that's the thing, is it's like, it's a very low-level commitment. Usually, when you're committing to some sort
of baby... You're talking about babies or low-level commitments?
I'm saying, usually, a baby is at least 18-year, if not longer, commitment. Like...
You know, not longer. You cutting ties with your kids at 18? Yeah.
As soon as they head to college. Later. Come on.
You stop. You know more time.
That room's turning into a gaming room, man. I can't wait.
Oh, man. More Legos.
More Legos. I'm sorry.
How do you need more toys in your life? You're surrounded by toys.
What are you talking about?
There's an unlimited
amount of toys. You're literally sad to say to him.
Here I am talking to two guys surrounded by toys and comic books. And you're like, I need a gaming room.
Yeah.
More room.
Get out of here, kids.
Anyway, Bug Baby, lighter commitment there. They age faster. That's my point.
Okay.
Yeah.
That said, it should be interesting to follow.
Sorry, shorter route to the gaming room, Alex. You should think about Bug Babies.
I should get some Bug Babies. Or honestly, I should convince my kids they're Bug Babies so they go to college.
Yeah, just tell them they're older. Yeah, exactly.
You're older.
You're older now.
You're older now.
I lied.
Start drinking.
Get out of here.
It helps. For those of you just listening, Alex is wearing an Invincible t-shirt and a yellow and blue Invincible hat, and he's like, I got to get rid of my kids so I can play games.
I'm like a reverse Bug Baby.
You are.
You're like a monster girl. How many skateboards are you on right now?
That's no pads, all skateboards. That's what I got to say.
Exactly. A little Daffy Duck thing over here.
Yeah.
It's all ball players.
You got your own thing. We all have our own cartoon characters relate to Nopats. What a revelation this episode. I did want to call out, just because we're taping this on March 14th, a.k.a. Pi Day, there's a great poster on Mark's wall in his college dorm room for Magnum Pi. Pi.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other posters for DTF, Little Boz, and Lady Yaya. There you go. But Magnum
all great projects
caught my eye.
Yeah, they felt apropos.
Well, I also like the bit of like him being like, "Yo, hang up all my posters, man. You took them down. It's not cool."
Yeah,
yeah, not cool.
What else should we talk about? We kind of touched on the duplicate and shrinking ray death. Those were both horrific.
So that whole battle sequence was just dreadful. They came in with such positive energy and so violent. The amount of inside of duplicates we've seen, too much. I'm good on that. I have a feeling we're going to get more. There's another duplicate hidden somewhere. I bet that will come to pass.
Oh, I hope so.
I also thought the death of Shrinking Ray was horrifying, but awesome.
What I hated but loved about that was how it plays against your expectations.
Yes.
Because exactly what Rexplode is saying, like, oh, that's a person that shrinks and grows. Of course she's going to blow up Komodo Dragon in that moment. And they play against it so hard. And like you're saying, it's disgusting to look at as his body distends and he somehow forces her back inside of him. Awful.
Well, I mean, just straight up eating people. You know what I mean? It's super gross.
What do you think she tasted like? Pete?
I would say something cross between gator and chicken.
Oh, probably.
That's nice.
And what about
kind of what kind of sauce would you have with her?
Like, a barbecue off the top of my head, but you know.
Like more of a Carolina like mustard barbecue, you think?
Yeah.
I remember that Carolina barbecue.
I remember when we went out that night. The memory is coming back of you saying barbecue off the top of my head.
Yeah,
I remember that. I don't necessarily. I can't quite picture the context, but
Sauce Weekend. Comic Book Club Sauce Weekend.
That's crazy.
I also really liked how Donald handled his I'm a Robot. Like, it was, I was really expecting him to really spin off and become a real problem, but took it like a champ, man.
I think he's struggling. He's having major anxiety struggling, dreams.
But, I mean, I thought he was going to murder him, do a bunch of stuff, but he was like, hey, we need the room. Waited for everybody to leave and was like, what the fuck is this, bro?
Yeah,
And then the part where he got real close to the robot and then it started choking him out, I was like, oh, man.
Panic attack dream.
Yeah.
I like this just because it's taking what we knew from the comic book and presenting the information in a very different way to give Donald a character that I think you touched on this earlier, Justin, a character that we could potentially not care at all about, and giving him a real emotional arc throughout.
Yeah,
this
you're pulling for him.
So good stuff. I like that quite a bit.
I wonder where it's all going. Is he going to end up sacrificing himself robot style as well?
You mean like T2 type of thing where he's waving as he's going down into the molten lava?
That's exactly. A quick little thumbs up. Donald will be back.
Maybe he's going to be
the
Donald
too legit. Talking. Too legit to, and then he goes under.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know if Arnold did a whole 2L2.
I thought he vogued. I thought he was like, no? Okay.
Wow. It took him a long time to sink, so he probably had a lot of time for hand gestures.
I mean, I'm sure there's takes out there of some funky stuff that he did.
Yeah.
There's takes out there in the wild.
James Cameron, famously known for being like, let's just riff and do a couple of options.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Arnold, play around. Do a couple fun ones.
Hey.
He was like smoking a cigar and one, you know?
Hey, Leo, I know you're dying in this cold, frozen water, but do a fun one.
Do some fun ones. Do one for you. This one's for you.
Do one where you're on the door. We'll just have some options.
Yeah, let's try one with him on the room. Door. Oh, it doesn't work.
Also, he lives. The person that also is impressive is Cecil. Like, I keep waiting for the turn of, like, Cecil bad. But, man, he loves that gray area of, like, I'm a bad guy, I'm a good guy. Maybe
Cecil
I'm
business. He's all business. Yeah. He's
also, like, the way he kind of leaned back in after he said to the mom, like, hey, I can help with this bug baby. And she was like, no, fuck you, I'm fine. He's like, well, think about it, you know. And then left, and I was like, that's all a little sweetness, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is down to Walton Goggins' voice work on the character, because I agree with you, Pete. It sounds like Justin's about to disagree, but I think we expect that character to betray them at any turn, but ultimately the way that Walton Goggins is playing him is this very resigned older guy who's been doing this for decades. He knows the right thing to do, even if it's going to end up hurting a couple of people, but yes, plans upon plans upon plans. Yes, that stuff might come out at some point and it might blow back on him. But at least right now, I agree with you, Pete, that I think you trust him. Justin, take it away.
Do not trust him. Counterpoint. Don't you think he's just trying to secure a backup mark?
Are you saying that just because he's like has an evil scar that maybe you shouldn't trust him? Is that what you're?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No one with any sort of scar or like strange number tattoo is good.
Ooh, aren't strange all siblings number? Like a backup in a way?
What the fuck?
Is that why you're raising your kids?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm an older brother, man. I got a backup. Oh my God.
When are we gonna
I can live crazy. I got a backup plan.
Exactly.
When are we getting him in here for his training, your younger brother?
Let me be honest. It would be crazy if we had all three of our brothers try to do a podcast one time, you know?
That'd be fun. I don't know if they would get along the way we do. I would know how we get along.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have watched too many television shows, talking to you.
Yeah. Okay, comic book club brothers, we're just gonna let's pick up with the sexual condiment runner. I think where we left off was you wanted to be rained on by mustard and action.
I'm calling it now. I think my brother says soy sauce. Guy loves sushi.
There it is. Look, Pete, you're on board this whole time. You'd love
any
sushi.
Other notes about the episode? Any other things?
Yes. The giant evil Skeletor was amazing. That was a really
omnipotous.
Whatever you want to call him. But giant evil Skeletor is what he is.
It's more of a description.
Well, either way, pretty badass kind of monster. I mean, I think they did a fun, smart choice with making it in a giant evil Skeletor. Yeah. Oh, man. There's so much great stuff. The Mandzukas calling it. He's like, there's no way two giant evil things will happen. I was like, oh, you really just fucked the duck on
never
that one.
Say but that out loud.
Yeah, it's just
duckling.
Really
you it's called, the phrase is you fuckling the duckling.
Duckling.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's, this was such a fun episode, man.
But so it's great to have Invincible back.
Funny moments, and I forgot about Seth Rogen, so it was nice to kind of have that reminder in there, you know?
Yeah, great to have Alan back and not dead, even though we saw him get pretty wrecked. I want to say the Shapesmith reveal was really funny, like that he thought he was keeping his secrets so well, and they're like, yeah, we all knew, you idiot. That was great. And just the Sequids as a villain, I think, is great. And I really wanted them to just... They really decided not to kill the astronaut. Because I think if they kill the astronaut, then it's fine. But they were taking the moral high ground, or hadn't thought of that in a way that I was pretty surprised by, when I think that's what Robot's plan would be under normal circumstance.
Yeah. Also, I just want to give a shout out to the direction here. Or storyboarding, or whatever you want to call it, where just cutting between these two giant disasters visually, they're very different. They're both very interesting to watch, both well paced out. That's not easy to do, to cut between these two big action sequences and make it work, but they absolutely do. Great to have this show back. Before we wrap up here, why don't we talk about the Invincible moment of the episode? Justin, you want to go first? What was your Invincible moment of the episode?
You know what mine is. It was the greeting between Mark and Adam Eve. Let's go.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, crazy. Amber. You cool, but you gone.
Pete, what about you? Invincible moment?
I got to say, there's a lot of great stuff that I want to talk about, but I think the...
A lot of the moments, though, you're going to mention are invincible, and we want the invincible moment.
Right. I'm going to have to say the kind of robot messing up. I think there's starting to be a real crack in the robot armor a little bit, and I think, that might be kind of leading to more problems.
I think the biggest thing for the future is probably the very last line where Thaddeus says, we got to go get Mark. He's the person that can turn the tide.
Turn the tide of the war.
That's the overarching plot of the whole show. That's the biggest thing. But I will say the thing that will stick with me the most is Duplicate being shoved together with her duplicate and just lying there on the floor, twitching.
Oh, my God. With the bulbous eyeball. That was scary.
In my nightmares forever. There we go.
I mean, just forecasting what you're saying, Alex, a little bit. So we think maybe the season 3, which is happening, I think we heard this week.
Yeah, they are not, I don't know where they are specifically, but they know it was too long of a gap that was going on between season 1 and season 2, as well as the first half of season 2 and the second half. They are deep into production on season 3 and trying to turn it around as quickly as possible. If I was a betting man, I would say they may even release it by the end of this year, as long as they can get ahead of season 4 so that they can get on more of a yearly schedule. But we'll see what happens.
Interesting. I would maybe put it this time next year. And it feels like that might be a nice schedule. But I'm sure they're trying to get it as soon as possible. But is season 3 the Viltrumite War?
It could be. They're mixing around a lot of stuff. I don't know if they want to get there that quickly. That feels like
this show moves pretty quick.
It does move pretty quick. You're absolutely right. So that could happen. And there's still plenty more that happens in Invincible after that war too. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Very fun.
Yes. I will say, as a little plug, I talked to Robert Kirkman the other day, and he said that he was kind of bummed to be talking about season 2 because season 3 thinks is the best season they've done so far. Super exciting. He's chomping at the bit to talk about that because he thinks that goes even harder than they went in season 1 and season 2.
Well, that's impossible. I mean, it goes so hard.
Yeah, shouts to Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, Kirkies.
He's the Stan Lee for this generation, like a tolerable Stan Lee who yes. makes sense. And yeah. that's great because that's such a, that's the most comic book guy thing to say. Not comic book guy from The Simpsons, but just like comic book person thing to say, like, oh yeah, this is fine. Wait till you see what we got next. And that's what he did. It's great.
There you go. If you'd like to support this show and all the shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We'd love to chat with you about Invincible. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X. Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, at least as long as TikTok is available in the United States. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, this is the Lizard League Experience. Stay frosty out there. What does he say? I never listened to that podcast.
Never made it all the way to the end. I think he ends with keep fuckling the duckling.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Pretty sure that's what it is.
Keep licking the lizard.
Hit me on the 57.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.